Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 33:27. Psalm 139:14. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. Psalm 119:73. Thy hands made me and fashioned me. Psalm 119:73. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Samuel 16:7. For the Lord sees, not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. And Proverbs 1:33. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Proverbs 1:33. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew, chapter 10, verse 28. Last Wednesday night, this devil got into our overhead projector, and my security blanket was messed up. So I'm glad that things are working this morning, and you'll be able to see, I trust, from where you're sitting, the scripture for this morning, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. You can see this verse on the back of your bulletin. You see it on the screen before you, and I trust you'll open your Bible to Matthew chapter 10. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today, realizing how important it is that we study God's Word while we're in harmony with our Lord. It's a magnificent experience for us to be able to receive spiritual fuel for our souls, and that's our reason and purpose for being here again today. A lot of information we need to retain, we need to receive, we need to utilize. We spend a moment now in prayer. May we pray together, please. Father, we realize today that we are blessed indeed. We're the recipient of your grace in so many ways. We rejoice in the fact that we know that heaven is our home. We're here just for a little while. And while we're here, we have a responsibility to love the Lord Jesus Christ, give out the good news of salvation to those who do not know, and help us that we may realize the importance of growing in grace and knowledge of our Savior every single day. We pray and thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, believers cannot be possessed by demons. We call that demon possession. But as I reminded you last Wednesday night, there's something that is equally as bad, perhaps worse, and that is for a born-again believer to be evil possessed. We as Christians cannot be demon possessed by demons, but Christians can be overtaken by Satan's strategy, Satan's plan. As we've already emphasized, evil is the philosophy of Satan. Evil is the thought pattern of Satan. Evil is the religion of Satan. Evil is the policy of Satan. Evil is the genius of Satan. And so the soul is the battleground for truth or evil. Satan is in the business of brainwashing individuals on a daily basis. We're going to spend a few moments in recapitulation. I believe it is important for us to see that God has given us a means by which our souls can be protected. It's important for us to come to the conclusion that there is protection for your soul and mine. It is also important for us to realize that we can, if we choose to, reject that protection. And that was one of the most tragic experiences that any believer could ever involve himself, herself in, and that is the rejection of this protection, the protection of the soul. On the screen, we're going to put very quickly some emphases that you need to have. You've seen this before. We'll see it many times. Sin is any mental, verbal, or overact that violates the standards and the integrity of God. Some of you have already taken this down, and I am glad that you have. We will not spend a lot of time today for you to copy all this information, but I wanted you to get a mental picture before we move into our scripture reading of Matthew 10:28. Sin is any mental, verbal, or overt act that violates the standards and the integrity of God. Number two, human good is any benevolent production or action that attempts to meet God's standards apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. In the past, we've emphasized human good, the difference between human good and vertical good, divine viewpoint versus satanic viewpoint. Number two, again, human good is any benevolent production or action that attempts to meet God's standards apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. If our soul is to be protected, we must realize that we have to be perceptive to God's Word, receive God's Word while we are in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ, and grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three is an emphasis upon evil. Evil is the purpose, policy, and modus operandi of Satan. We should repeat this a number of times. If you're copying it, is evil is the purpose, policy, and modus operandi of Satan. We find this emphasized in John chapter 8, verses 42 through 47. Evil is the purpose, the policy, and the modus operandi of Satan. John 8, 42 to 47. This will be in small letters. I don't expect you to be able to read it. I just want you to hear it. We need to take a look at sin, human good, and evil. And so I repeat, sin is any mental, verbal, or overt act that violates the standards and integrity of God. Number two, human good is any benevolent production or action that attempts to meet God's standards apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. Number three, evil is the purpose, policy, and modus operandi of Satan. John 8, 42 to 47. Some of you are going to say, well, it seems like I've heard that before. You surely have, because I just gave it a few moments ago. Number four, sin and human good are not necessarily evil, but evil always includes sin and human good. If you've heard the first three points and you've gotten those into your mind, that's wonderful. But now you need to be able to see that sin and human good are not necessarily evil, but evil always includes sin and human good. Number five, sin and human good are human actions. But evil is a manner of thinking, a way of life, and the modus operandi of the devil's world. All the other things we've heard many times, but we need to take a look again at number five, sin and human good are human actions. But evil is a manner of thinking, a way of life, and the modus operandi of devils, of the devil's world. Number six, Jesus Christ died to take away sin, but he did not die for evil or human good. And I'm aware of the fact that that is a statement that some people have a difficult time understanding, but I think by the time we get through with this, in 6 months or a year or 2 years from now, we'll be able to understand it. Number six again, Jesus Christ died to take away sin, but he did not die for evil or human good. Last Wednesday night, we put on the screen, and we would have put on the screen had we been able to, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. I would like for you to write this verse down in case you missed last Wednesday night, or even if you were here last Wednesday night, you were not able to see this verse as we have it now on the screen. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, "From every form of evil, abstain." This is a powerful passage of Scripture. It begins with a preposition, apo. It goes then to the second word, which is an adverb. And the third word is the word which is translated form. From every form of evil, abstain. When you take a look at that word form, you will discover that it means shape, type, essence, species, external figure. In fact, this Greek word is the word from which we get our English word idea. Some people say idea, but it's idea. Idea comes from the same root word, and the word actually means contemplation. Now, I want you to see what is being said here. From every form, from every contemplation of evil, abstain. I've been able to receive the German translation of all these verses, and it's interesting to see how this particular verse is translated. It goes like this. From every type of evil, you all, which is plural word, hold in the distance. I like that because it tells me what our attitude should be toward satanic thinking. It says, when you are aware of satanic thinking, hold that satanic thinking in the distance. In other words, push it aside. Place it aside from you. And so actually the word means to keep away, to hold back, to be away, absent, distant, prevent, away. Gain by discarding it. In other words, if it's already come in and you're a participant of satanic thinking, if it's coming into your life already, then you are gaining if you will discard satanic thinking. I notice that 1 Thessalonians 5:22, if you're able to see it from where you're sitting, that last word, abstain, I put it in capital letters, and I want you to see that it is a verb in the command, which says that you and I are commanded to abstain, to put away the contemplations of satanic thinking. And you'll notice that it is a present tense verb which says you're to keep on doing it. It's something that you have to do over and over and over again. So the present tense means continuous action. The middle voice here is a fantastic emphasis in the fact that you and I will be benefited. Thank you, MG. We and I will be benefited if we realize that we will be profited, we will gain by our abstaining from satanic thinking. Now, you got this the other day. Oh, by the way, just take a look at this for just a few moments. Those of you who have been listening quite well understand that there are different words in the original language for evil. The one that I want to ask you now to detect in this verse of Scripture, if you're able to detect in this verse of Scripture the word, I'm going to go ahead and put these up here, and then you tell me in a few moments, not out loud, which one it is. Look at the word evil. For all of you who love the Greek, P-O-N-E-R-O-U, which is from the root word, P-O-N-E-R-O-S. Now, in the light of that, Let's put this on the screen. Evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth both in belief and behavior. We need to understand that there's a difference between sin on the one hand and evil on the other hand. I believe we're getting that definition down. What is evil? Evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth both in belief and behavior. And then we've emphasized, and we're seeing it now more clearly, that there are three words that we're presenting to you that are translated in the English translation, evil. One of those words is the word kakos, which is K-A-K-O-S. The next word is the word that you just seen in the verse that we had on the screen, P-O-N-E-R-O-S. And then we'll see on Wednesday night specifically the last word that you have up here, which is the Greek word phalos, P-H-A-O-U-P-H-A-U-L-O-S. The word phalos is the word which means dung. It means excrement. What other words could I use and be nice? But anyway, I just want you to see that that is a word used in the New Testament. The word that is in our verse that we've just been looking at is the second one, which is the word poneros. Now, in the light of that, we'll put the next transparency up here. We were going to do this Wednesday night, and we were not able to. So, you missed it if you did, but you won't miss it now. Here we have the first word, evil. K-A-K-O-S. What does it mean? It means opposed to the goodness and the character of God. Let's look at that for just a few seconds. The word means opposition to the goodness and the character of God. That's the meaning of the word kakos, K-A-K-O-S. Some of you are saying, well, I don't think I need to know all this. Well, yes, you do. You really need to know this, because in the future, your soul is not going to be protected unless you have a concept of what is being presented to you right now. One of the greatest words that I could give you is the word protection. And the greatest thing that I can say to you in relationship to the word protection is that your soul be protected and my soul be protected. I thought about this a lot. And I want you to see today that I look at you and what I see about you is that which brought your real person into this auditorium. Have you heard that before? Certainly. The person, you, is what you and I see. We see the outward. We do not see the inward. What we're seeing is your body. But that's not the real you. The real you is the immaterial. It is the non-seeable. It is the non-touchable. It is your soul. You have to understand something here, and that is that our ability to comprehend things in the realm of the physical, our understanding of things that are physical, that we can see, that is a result of a soul. And that belongs to a saved person or even a lost person. So the lost person has the ability to comprehend things that are physical, that he can, that person can see and understand and comprehend colors and see things and understand those things. That's the result of the soul. The soul is that which lives on forever and forever and forever. That is that which you and I cannot look at another person and see. You and I, the most important thing about you and me is not this body, because we're going to be looking at it later, but what we're seeing is that we are an indestructible soul clothed in a destructible body. Think about that. You and I are indestructible souls clothed in a destructible body. We're living in a body that is destructible. We're not going to be in this body all that long at the longest. But I'm telling you for sure, what's really important, more, far more important than this body, is your eternal soul. So, the first point, kakos, evil is opposed to the goodness and character of God. Secondly, evil, panaros, is opposed to divine viewpoint. And thirdly, phalos, opposed to divine good. Well, let's see if I can move away from all of this and now move to a passage of Scripture that is so unique. Wow. If you'll take your bulletin and look at the back, you're going to be able to see a powerful verse of Scripture indeed. It says, do not fear the ones killing the body, but the soul not able to kill. But fear ye rather the one being able both soul and body to destroy. I'm sure that you're aware of this, but maybe you've not thought too much about it. And that is that through the years, many, many hundreds, and yet even thousands of believers have suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I don't realize this, but we need to begin to realize this, that there may be a day in your future and mine that we will suffer for our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. During the years of the martyrs in the Roman Empire, Christians fled into the underground caverns outside of Rome. It is determined now that there are about 800 miles of catacombs that the Christians dug. 10 generations of Christians were buried in those over a period of several hundreds of years. Archaeologists estimate that up to 4 million Christians are buried in the catacombs in the time when they were being persecuted. I want you to think about what I've just said. I have said that over the years there have been many born-again believers who've suffered for their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most frequent inscriptions is the sign of the fish. Most of you have seen that sign. But there's another inscription that can be seen and could be seen in several places. And the sign was written in words. The Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. In other words, what these people were saying, we have such an awe and respect for God. Our awe and respect for God is so much that we do not fear mankind. We do not fear what people can do to us. Therefore, we're going to preach and teach the Word of God. I trust that this is sinking deep into your hearts and minds. It is estimated that more than 50 million Christians have died for their faith in the Dark Ages. That 1 million Christians died for their faith when the communists took over China. All I'm trying to do is to remind you today that you and I better be serious about this matter of soul protection. Don't reject soul protection. The reason that I'm standing here for myself and for you is to protect your soul. It's very important that you hear what is being said. Don't look upon this lightly. Don't consider this insignificant. Don't think that you can take it easy whether or not you're going to come to Bible class or hear Bible teaching on a daily basis. Don't think of that as in a careless way. Thousands upon thousands have died in civil wars, in rebellions of Africa. It is estimated, and I repeat, 50 million Christians have died for their faith in the Dark Ages. That 1 million Christians died for their faith when the communists took over China. Were you here Wednesday night? Did you hear what I said as I read a statement that was made 54 years ago? A British statesman by the name of Lord Lawrence, is buried in Westminster Abbey. And on his grave, it gives his name, the date, and then it says, And I wrote this out, and I've gone over it a number of times in my mind. And I realize that the words that are stated now, and I'm going to read it in a few moments, and then I'm going to present to you what he's really saying. It says, he feared man so little because he feared God so much. And we're not talking about being afraid. We're talking about awe and respect. That's the meaning of the word. So I changed it. Lord Lawrence of British Statements said, and this is on his tombstone, he feared man so little because he respected God so much. And when I think in terms of that, I am amazed at how indifferent oftentimes people are in relationship to soul protection. Now, look at the verse. We'll only take a few moments to begin our study, and then we're going to get into a deeper thought in relationship to our protection of the soul. If you'll see this verse carefully, you will see, look at it on the back of the bulletin if you can't see it very well from where you're sitting. Do not fear those who could kill your body. If someone pulls a gun on you and shoots you and kills you, do not fear those who can take your body out. But the soul, not able to kill. The only thing that people could do to you if they killed you is to destroy the outer. I just want you to see this. I want you to think about it. Because I've tried to lay a foundation for you to be able to see what is really important about you and me. It's not the body. Even though we pamper the body, we emphasize the body, we dress the body, we comb the hair of the body. In fact, I found out the other day, and I think I told you, that I read that the Lord knows even the number of hair you have on your head. Did I tell you that? Well, sure, that's in the scripture. And it says, and the person that said this said that on the average person, now we're not talking about some of you, the average person has 144,000 hair. Now some have more, some have less. Now don't look at me so mean. I'm aware of the fact that some of your hair is turning gray and some of it's turning loose. And that's okay. But I want you to see that the man said 144,000, and then he said, if you really realize what that scripture is saying, it's saying that the number of your hair, 144,000. That means number one, number two, number 500, number 600. Are you still with me? Each one is numbered. That just kind of blew my mind. In other words, not only does the Lord understand and know how many hair you have on your head, He has each one of them numbered. Now, the next time one falls, you can say, oh, is that 722? This is saying to us, we're not to fear. Please notice the words. Phobeo, P-H-O-B-E-O, phobeo. Present middle imperative verb. Oh, would, could I just really get this over? Let me show you. But not able to kill the soul. But then it goes on. Conjunction of contrast. But fear, you fear, rather the one who's able both the soul and the body to destroy in a place called hell. Now, just in case you die or you don't come back ever, let me quickly tell you something that you need to remember. Destroying hell is not annihilation. It's not an emphasis upon cessation. It's the same word that is used in John 3:16. The Greek word is apolumi, A-P-O-L-L-U-M-I. The reason I'm bringing this up this early is because some of you may miss it, and I don't want you to miss it. This is not an emphasis upon annihilation. This is not an emphasis upon cessation. This is not an emphasis upon the fact that somewhere out there you're going to cease to exist. You're going to go on forever somewhere. As a saved person, you're going to go on forever in heaven with the Lord. As an unsaved person, if you do not accept Jesus Christ as Savior, you're going to go on forever in a place of eternal destruction. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, I want you to see that the word destroy is not the word which means annihilation. It does not mean cessation. It means continuation. And we'll get into that in greater detail later. The word phobeo is the word which means fear. There are people who are afraid. In fact, I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that we're living in a time when more people are becoming afraid. There are people who are punching panic buttons in our day, fearful. And they're fearful in relationship to whether or not they're going to be killed, their body. You see what they're thinking? Go to the gun shops and see how many guns have been sold. See the stands that are empty in many cases. What are we seeing? We're seeing something that you need, and I need to look at this verse of Scripture. Do not fear the ones who have the ability to take you out of this life, to kill you. But please notice, present tense, continuous action. Do not fear. Middle voice. You'll be benefited if you're not in a state of being afraid. How can you and I be in a state of being non-afraid? We can have what is known as the protection of the soul. And the protection of the soul, we're going to deal with it in the next session, the protection of the soul is a spiritual edifice. We call the spiritual house of the soul. Does this all make sense? Sure it does. In other words, I realize that I have not spent enough time in the area of building this spiritual edifice, even though we've talked about it. We've shown you diagrams. John and I have presented this over and over the past years. And I realize, even now, that many times people hear things and don't hear it. They hear with their physical ears, but they're not able to hear with their spiritual hearts. They're not able to take it in properly. And as a result of that, there is somewhat of a rejection of their protection. And I don't want that to happen to people whom I love dearly. And I don't want that to happen to myself. I want my soul protected. And I want your soul protected. But I cannot make you. I cannot coerce you. I cannot force you. Wouldn't even try to do that. But I'm aware of the fact that my responsibility is to present to you the need so that you will say, I will not allow anything, not anything on this earth to keep me from having my personal soul protection. It's an individual thing. It's not a husband and wife. It's not children or parents. It's an individual thing. You've got to make a decision for yourself whether you're going to have your soul protected. And let me tell you, I'm of the opinion that in the coming weeks and months, you and I are going to be facing experiences where we need this more than we've ever needed it in our lives. Soul protection. And the only soul protection we're going to have is we're going to study it in the next session, and that is we're going to have something inside that's far more valuable than the emphasis that we put on the things on the outside. Oh, do we spend money on things on the outside? Oh, do we put an emphasis on things on the outside? We place a lot of emphasis on things that are nothing but stuff, just stuff. We've had a garage sale, Johnny, and you know what we've done? We've gotten rid of some stuff. Stuff, stuff, stuff. And we still have some stuff. You know what I know about you? You've got some stuff. You've got a bunch of stuff. You got stuff here and stuff there, and you've stuffed it everywhere. It's just stuff. That's all it is. I go up to the casket and I look in there and say, "Where's all that stuff? I'm looking for your stuff." "Well, you're not even here, are you?" No, I'm not there. "But where's your stuff?" "Oh, I'm taking my stuff with me to heaven." "Oh, no, you're not." It's time to break, isn't it? When we come back in a few moments, oh, my friends, don't forget that we're going to deal with how to get rid of that stuff and how to really have soul protection. We're going to understand a little bit more about the fact that we have an indestructible soul clothed in a destructible body. Father, thank you for this day, for every wonderful blessing. Help us to realize how important it is to have the protection of our souls. Help us not to reject this. It is so very, very important. Help us not to reject it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Great.